World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So what's your favorite topic? What's your favorite topic? I think some folks tune in here early part in the show and find out what the topic is. And if they like the topic, they stay. And if they don't like the topic, they leave. I just kind of got a feeling that's what's going on. And I want you to know, I've been up since 5:30. Slept really good last night. The alarm went off, got up 5:30. And I sit down every day. I want you guys all to know this. I sit down every morning. Well, every morning that there's a show. And I say, Lord, what would you have us talk about today? And, you know, jokingly, my wife says, honey, you talk about the same thing every day. Well, it's because it's, again, as I've said, it's the old coach in me. Folks, if the line ain't blocking properly, I'm not going to worry about the passing game. If we don't figure out how to block the guy over the top of us, I don't care what pass play you call. It ain't going to work, right? So from the nuts and bolts of what's going on, every day when I get up, I want you to know this, that the Bible says that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, waiting for the A-team to show up. And number one, do we have an A-team? And number two, if the A-team showed up, would they know what the hell they're supposed to do? And do we know what the A-team would look like? So I just want you to know, from my perspective, I'm not trying to build an audience. Oh, I'd love to have an audience. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to wake up the audience. I'm trying to get us up and get us into the game. And I see more and more and more and more little pop-ups, little awakenings that are going on. My friend, man, we got to get engaged, man. We got to get engaged. And then another issue, and I kind of feel the same thing too. I get it. He's talking about that again. I'm beyond. Okay, well, it is. Unless we all get in the same huddle and all call the same play and all run the same play, sometime we'll run your play, sometime we'll run another play. And you know, if you have a play you'd like me to run, well, send me some information on it and help prepare it, and I'm willing to do it. But the truth is, I can't run your play. You can. I can help you run it. JR's running the play. I try to help JR, but I can't run JR's play. Craig's running the play. God bless Craig. I'm going to help him, but I can't run Craig's play. The Lord's called Craig to run the play. You run the play. Mel's running some plays. God bless Mel. Mel, keep running those plays. I can't run Mel's play. So the question that we ought to all ask ourselves is, Lord, what would you have me do? What would you have me to do, Lord? Not my pastor, not the elder board. What would you have me to do? Because at the end of the day, all of us were going to stand before the Lord, and our pastor isn't going to be there. The elder board's not going to be there. Our mayor's not going to be there. Our governor's not going to be there. It's going to be me, and I'm going to stand before the Lord, and I'm going to be judged out of the things that are written in the books. Just kind of curious, do you believe in rewards and punishments? Is there going to be an awards assembly in heaven? Are those who really laid down their lives for Christ, is there going to be an awards assembly? Is all of heaven going to applaud when they bring up so-and-so and he laid down his life and this is what happened? Is there going to be a standing ovation in heaven and all of us are going to watch and honor that guy? And then that guy's going to take his crowns off and throw them at the feet of the Lord. That's the picture I see. It's not a works gospel. But what a horrible thing to think that you will show up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You show up and you didn't bring a present to the wedding. Say, well, Coach, are you talking about works? No, I'm not talking about works. Michelle gave me a big hug the other day because I washed the dishes. I wash the dishes. Real quickly, David Arthur, tell us real quick, what's going on with you? You got to go get an MRI so people know how to pray for you. Go ahead, man. What's up?
Yeah, so back in February, I fell on the ice and hurt my back and my shoulder. Paid it no mind. And my back and my shoulder are still hurting. My back's getting better, though, since I've been going to the gym. I'm down 60 pounds, praise Jesus, and doing a lot at the gym with a trainer. But my shoulder has just gotten worse and worse, and so I started getting a lot of stabbing pain in it. Can't really sleep, can't function. And so I have a large tear in the tendon, one of the tendons. I guess it's what, like, what they would call a torn rotator cuff, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have a large tear that goes right through to the other tendon, which means it separated it from the bone. And so surgery is very likely, no matter what, because they say physical therapy may work.
Yeah, if it's torn, it's not. You got to reconnect it. It's like a rubber band that gets broke. Rubber band's no good to reconnect it, right?
Yeah. So I'm still functioning, doing what I got to do today. I'm going to get an MRI right now, another one just for the specialist, and then I go to the gym anyway today. I just can't use my right arm. That's all.
Yeah.
So that's all. Just keep me lifted up for that, because I'm completely against Western medicines and surgeries. But I would.
Yeah, surgery's gonna be a good thing, man.
I'd rather go against my better judgment and get it repaired.
Yeah. Well, Lord, David, we know right now you're the great physician, Lord. You could touch him right now. You could do it right now and heal it. But the reality of it is, that doesn't happen very often, Lord. We just ask you to direct the surgeons, whatever it be, and bring relief to David in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Amen. Coach.
Okay, look, I got on that ramble. I always kind of get on that ramble at the beginning. Thanks for letting me vent, because it is a venting process for me, because, God, I'm ready to lead a revolution. I am. Yeah, and it seems like we're kind of stuck in a box here. And we'll show you some stuff. This is pretty interesting. Tony Spell, bring that up, Spence. Hang on. Nope, stop. Folks, coming to the annual. I don't know why you wouldn't. Come to the annual. Take a couple days off. Come and just get to know the folks that you see every day on here. Come. Registration is available now. Look, we had a donor that came in, paid for the annual. It's going to cost you your meal, a meal ticket, $20. You can come to this event for $20. It'll be life changing for some of you. Really could be. We're going to visit the mounds, and that'll be good. It's a weekend of fellowship ministry teaching. Folks, when you see some of these mounds, some of you have never seen them. And that Fritz Zimmerman explained to us exactly what happened, that it wasn't the Hopewell Indians that did it. Understand the spiritual connection and what it is that we're dealing with. It'll be a great enlightening thing for you. Plus, be a lot of fun. Have a lot of fun. Straighten the leg. What do I do? Be a lot of fun. So come on. $20. Get in here. Come and join us. Okay, cool. Get out of there. Mel's got something going on this week. He went local one. Are you guys getting together out there? Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Are you guys gathering out there? Are you gathering? And I feel a little bit responsible for that, because maybe I haven't pushed it enough. Let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as I see that day approaching. Does anybody see that day approaching? I do. I see that day approaching. When I look around and think, daggone, if we could ever get organized and all get on the same page, man, we could advance something here. We could advance it. So we're having a house-to-house here in Ohio coming up this weekend. I just encourage more of you to get involved and do the same thing. Amen. I feel like I'm lecturing a little bit. Don't want to do that. Point number two, Tony Spell. You guys know Tony Spell? Tony Spell got arrested. Dale Socia made us aware of this. You guys know Pastor Tony Spell? I consider him, not a great friend of Tony, but I consider Pastor Tony Spell a friend. And he's in Louisiana. And they caught on camera. Some guy's been showing up at his church and harassing their church outside it. And so he went out and confronted a guy and turned into a fight. And they arrested Pastor Tony. Got out of jail. He spent about 6 hours in jail. But Pat, let's pray for Tony. You know, it's crazy because here's the double standard, friends. Here's the freeze out a second if you can't, Spence. Here's the double standard. Well, he's not acting very Christian. That would be the double standard, wouldn't it? Some guy comes, assaults, says, threatens to kill his wife, rape his wife, rape his children. And after who knows how long it's been going on, Tony went out and just freaking got into a brawl with him. Not very Christian, is it? No, it's Christian to allow this a-hole to come out and continually do this outside of his church. Even though they've called the police, and the police come, and the police don't do anything, because the only people who are allowed to be discriminated against are Christians. You got that, don't you? They're allowed to be discriminated against. And so just play this clip real quick from the beginning. Dale, are you out there, Dale? He's out of jail now, isn't he, Dale? He spent like 6 hours in, and they bonded him out. And can you imagine what they're going to be saying about Pastor Tony Spell, because he had the balls to go out and cold cock some guy that's out there that's been giving his church a hard time. Go ahead, play that. This is no sound to it. Now, we can determine whether or not he started it or not. Who started it? We don't know who started it. But I wonder how many people said, well, that's not very Christian. I'm sure he's supposed to turn the other cheek. Yeah, that's how we got in this mess, you want my opinion. Good. I agree, Mr. Numbers. Good for Pastor Tony. Good for Pastor Tony. May his church explode from people who actually saw a man of God stand up and say, daggone, enough is enough. So, okay, make that a little bit larger. I didn't say anything to Dale. Dale's got a lot going on, too. Live, what's it say? Reverend Tony Spell has been freed from prison tonight. What a day, what a night. Summary of what happened today, the man across the street from the church who has harassed and threatened members of the church virtually every day for years shouted a threat at the pastor saying he intends to rape the pastor's wife, Sister Shay, when the pastor is out of town. And rape and kill his grandchildren. This is one of hundreds of such threats made by the neighbor over the past 6 years. Despite many police reports, nothing's been done to protect the church or its members. And after the threats today, Pastor Tony decided it's time to be a man. So when out confronting, the man swung and scratched the pastor's face. Fight ensued, and the pastor got the best of it. Sheriff's deputies came, arrested the pastor for second-degree battery, booked him in parish prison. Nothing was done to the instigator of the fight. Of course not. And after 6 hours in the prison, Pastor Spell bonded out $25,000. He was released just in time for tonight's service and asked for a comment. Reverend Spell said, "We will have our day in court and all the facts will come out." God bless Tony Spell. God bless Tony Spell. We ought to figure out how we can go down there and support that brother, huh? Yeah, wow. Wow, what a time to be alive. Well, play that one, Spence. This guy here, domestic terrorism. Tyler Moores, a member of the Life Tabernacle Church, who's married to a black lady, this guy's married to a black lady, tells him about the racial slurs and criminal threats which he and his wife and mixed race daughters have experienced constantly over the last 6 years from this dude across the street from the Tabernacle Church. So real quick, go ahead and play it in 11.
Hello, my name's Tyler Moros. I'm 39 years old, and I attend Life Tabernacle. I've attended this place for 10 years. The man across the street, every time we go in and out, my wife's a black lady, my child is mixed. He uses the N-word. He makes sexual gestures toward him. My child asked me, what does this word mean? What does that word mean? And it's words that she heard from him that she shouldn't be saying. Not only that, when we drive the bus and we take the kids back and forth to church, they're colored children, he calls them the N-word, he calls them, he tells them he's going to rape them, he's going to attack them, he's going to do all this. He's been doing it almost every church service since I've been coming to this church since about COVID. And he's been harassing us continuously, and I've had to tell my child, ignore him, he's mentally unstable, ignore him, there's something wrong with him, pray for him, but it's constant harassment to all the church members, calling the colored members the N-word, telling the women he's going to rape them, telling the men he's going to beat them up or kill them. He's waved the gun at us, He's done all of this over and over and over. And Pastor Spell has preached, forgive him, forget him, pray for him. We've all been doing it. And it's just constant harassment. We see him as, we're going to see it when we go outside. We've all learned that he's going to be there doing that almost every time we come to church. Constant harassment.
Amen. Okay, so Hello? This is going to veer me into something today. And I think it's really, really important. What is, in America, what is the standard of right and wrong? Who says that we're not supposed to judge? Who says you're not supposed to, I lost my train of thought. Who, I was thinking of examples. Who says that we're not to judge? What is the standard of right and wrong? What is the standard? All the laws that our nation is built upon, what's the standard? What is the idea of it? Let justice roll down like a mighty river. Okay. Well, who says calling somebody the N-word is wrong? What makes that wrong? Other than it's wrong, what makes it wrong? What makes sleeping around on your wife wrong? What makes lying to your children wrong? What is that standard? And is the standard of right and wrong merely something that's set by government? Is that really where we are? The government determines what's right and wrong? Or is there a universal sense of right and wrong? The Bible says, can two walk together lest they agree? We would all agree with this, right? Who's ever in authority makes the laws. Joe Biden made the law. He didn't make the laws, but he's the head of the government. And so Joe Biden had a sense of right and wrong, a sense of morality, but it certainly wasn't the sense of morality that you and I have. It's certainly not. And so we have such a thing called national sins. Michelle, sounds like the toilet's running. Hope she's listening. Our toilet sometimes gets stuck and the water runs on and on. So hang on. So I want us to understand this. I want to talk about this today. How much, Lord, where do you want me to go? Okay, I'm going to go right there, Lord. Point number 10. Michelle, did you hear me? She yelled, I love that little thing. Now it's stopping. What did I say? Well, I got lost. Okay. Broke my chain of thought. All right. Number 10. Did you pull up number 10, Spence? I'm sorry. Abortion. Can we talk about that here, man? Is it okay if we talk about abortion? What happened to the pro-life movement? And since we're talking about morality and who sets morality, who determined that it's okay to kill an unborn baby? Who made that determination? And who's right about that? My body, my choice. And say, well, it's a baby. No, it's not a baby. It's a fetus. Well, fetus isn't a baby. That argument, because there's no clarity, right? There's no clarity in it. And so we have to ask ourselves this. Is there such a thing as national sin? Is there a national sin upon which a nation can be punished for its national sin? See, it's one thing for me to go out and, does anybody remember when they were what they called backroom abortions before 1973, where people would go to a doctor or go to somebody and they would perform they would kill the baby. It wasn't legal. So they had to go kill them. Somewhere along the way, up until 1973, killing a baby was wrong. And then all of a sudden in 1973, it became right. It became right. That wrong became a choice. Well, rape is a choice, isn't it? See, the only thing it can do is they can make the baby unhuman, so therefore it's not a victim. Same thing they did, by the way, with racism, blacks. They called blacks, they were two-thirds of a human being. You could have a black as a slave because they weren't really a human. They weren't really a human. And we've been in this battle since 1973. And is there, I ask the question, is there really a pro-life movement anymore? Wait a minute. Anti-abortion. Why do we call it pro-life? As if you could equate pro-life with abortion. As if those two are both acceptable choices. Is a baby a baby? Is murder murder? Yes or no? Yes or no? That's come to us because we've got multicultural, excuse me, values clarifications, yada, yada. Okay, let me show you something here real quickly. I keep jumping around on you, Spence. Spencer, pull up number 8, Spencer. Folks, I've been encouraged. I'm going to come back to this. Hey, are you looking at me? Can Almighty God bless a nation that kills its babies? Pretty simple question. Can Almighty God, God bless America, can Almighty God, if there is such a thing, can his blessings fall upon a nation that has codified baby murder as a right? It's a big question. 1973. I came across this morning, and I'm going to play just a few minutes of it. And I would ask you, take the time to watch it later. I really don't know much about Ali Beth Stuckey. I like her. She's really good. And Seth Gruber, Pastor Seth Gruber. I like his stuff. He's really, really good. 37. How many, Spencer? Somebody do some math for me. How long ago was 1973? How long ago was 1973? 58 years, maybe? 53 years? 53 years of unabated murder of children. And let me ask you something. When's the last time your pastor mentioned it? When's the last time your pastor mentioned abortion? The murder of unborn children. Stay with me a second, okay? Bear with me. Let's go here real quick. Spence, stay right there. Pull up number 10 real quickly. Everybody loves money. We're about taxation, yada, 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 yada. The economic cost of abortion. Let's say human beings weren't really babies, weren't really babies. We can kill them. But let's say all that stuff, right? Okay, all right. But we're worried about money, financial cost. Has anybody ever talked about the financial costs of abortion? Say what? Yeah, scroll down, Spence. Hang on. Time out again. Is there a pro-life movement in your church? Is there a pro-life movement in your town? Mark Harrington's still out there, Center for Bioethical Reform, doing a great job. I'm going to hit myself in the face. I don't go to the abortion clinic anymore. We got friends that do. I don't go anymore. And what if God really is looking at America and said, listen, dudes, God bless America. I can't bless that. Look at this, folks. I love Google. U.S. Secretary Janet Yellen. So this is what year was that, Spence? Can you find what year this thing was written? 2022. That'd be, if my math is any good, that'd be 4 years ago. Recent weeks, U.S. Secretary Janet Yellen and other economists have argued that restricting abortion would negatively affect the economy. Yeah, right. So Republicans estimate that the economic cost of abortion in 2009, what it cost us by production of children not being produced was $6.9 trillion in unrealized labor. $6.9 trillion, 32% of our GDP, 630 unborn lives. The economic cost estimate relies on standard methodology. So what do they show? A Republican, this website estimates that the economic cost of an abortion due to the loss of the unborn baby's life is 425 times larger than the earnings lost than a mother. See, a woman says, I have to have an abortion because I can't miss work. I can't miss work. So I have to kill my baby. But they find out that killing the baby costs the government 425 times more. Why? Because the baby would produce, right? You tracking with me here? So earnings of the average mother fell approximately $26,000 over the first 6 years of the child's life. She had to stay home, raise the baby. If each abortion prevents maternal earnings from falling, all abortion in 2009 could save mothers $16.2 billion. However, the real cost is $6.9 trillion abortion costs us in 2019. It's the economy, stupid. Abortion at its core is a moral issue rather than an economic one. But even in economic terms, the cost of abortion vastly outweigh any claimed financial benefits. Okay? Cool. Get that one off of there. Now, I'm talking to myself today, okay? Pro-life movement. What the hell? You know, pull that one back up here real quick before we get Seth and Allie Beth up here. Pull that one back. Abortion statistics by year 1973 current. It's economy stupid, right? We're all worried about the economy. We're all worried about the economy. We got to get the economy booming. The legacy of Roe versus Wade is 64 plus million lives lost. Now go back to the statistic we just did on what it costs financially. Now hang on. These are the ones we know about. These are the ones done by Planned Parenthood and their whatever. Go back at the top, Spence. Don't go down there yet. There's already 64 million lives. Freeze it right there. There are already abortions being performed in some states in the years before Roe. But the Supreme Court's decision in 1973 set off a tragic era that led to the loss of more than 64 million lives. Now, hang on. It's more than that, folks. Those babies would have had babies. Several states legalized abortion before the Supreme Court in 1973. And early reports from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Look, I'm sorry if you don't want to talk about abortion. If you think God's going to smile on us as we continue to murder those little ones created in his image, he said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck, throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean, than to abort one of these little ones. Now, he didn't use abort. Center for CDC reported 22,670 for 1969. Number of abortions. Unbelievable. We don't even talk about it today. Okay, so I'm going to connect a dot here, okay? 64 million lives. Hey, Spence, real quickly, what's the population of America right now? U.S. population, 349 million. So it'd be safe to say that'd be a fifth. We've killed a fifth. We would increase, but where would we put everybody? Well, folks, we're under judgment. We're under judgment. Our finances aren't working out because we're under judgment. Why? Because we're murdering little babies created in the image of God. That's why. Well, oh yeah, the economy. We wouldn't have so many daggone illegals, would we? Jack says 345 million. God's winking and nodding at that. Okay, I got to show you this because it's really good. I'm going to ask you to do this. Watch all of it, okay? Watch all of this that I'm about to play you on your own later on. Seth Gruber and Allie Beth Stuckey. But here's the heart of it, what I want you to see today. It's immorality, folks. It's immorality in general. And when we went through the 60s and the 70s, we had the most wicked Supreme Court decisions come down that a man that could have ever happened. Prayer removed from school, Ten Commandments taken down. Unbelievable. A 20-year run of the most unbelievable things in our courts. Where a court's saying basically the separation of church and state meant the separation of morality and state. Morality and state. They didn't want any rules. No rules. We all know that a child is formed at the moment of conception. We all know that. And you talk about the defenseless, the same thing they did to black people, said they weren't human beings. Babies aren't real. They aren't human beings yet. Now, we have a new little granddaughter. I'm sorry, Michelle. 5 months, she's older. I don't know. I don't keep track of that stuff. She's the most alive little thing in there. She can't talk. She can smile. She can react. What if they said life begins at language? When they can make words, then they're alive. Until then, they can't communicate with you. You don't even know what they're saying. Huh? Life begins at talking. No. Life begins at sentences. Life begins at multiplication. When they can do multiplication, then it's foolishness, isn't it, folks? But that's what's happened to us. But here's the connection that Ali Beth and Seth Gruber make. Now, this is going to be about a 10-minute segment. I got to shut up and play this. Maybe you can play it at 1.5 speed, Spence, just to speed it up a little bit. And Seth Gruber does the most unbelievable connection between the sexual revolution and where we are today. Go ahead.
Beater and like dress some scarecrows up as old communists with Tannerite and blow them up. It's okay to love America because that's an extension of your love of family. That's all okay. But to celebrate America this 250th while simultaneously doing nothing to tear down the high places of weird gay sex stuff and baby killing would merely be decoration of a coffin that we're unwilling to admit we're already carrying. Okay.
Hang on.
This
freeze
is literally
that.
A last.
America's already dead. We're just carrying the coffins. What he's saying. Go ahead.
Stand moment. And there's this shocking work that was done. I have the book over there, but I don't want to walk off camera, called Sex and Culture by J.D. Unwin. I think I've mentioned maybe this to you before, Ali, but he's been absolutely buried by the liberal academic left because his findings, his research, his conclusions are a total indictment on secular liberalism and the false promises of the sexual revolution, which if I could summarize the false promises of the sexual revolution, it would be this, orgasms without responsibility, that you can have orgasms without mm-hmm. responsibility. And so he's been totally buried. In fact, I went viral with our friends at Cross Politic on their show at AmFest, and the reel went, I don't know, 2.5 million views, and I got meta fact checked by going through the data, the info I'm about to give your listeners right now, Ali. And it basically said, fact check, Seth Gruber's wrong. There's no proof that a society that adopts total sexual freedom eventually collapses. There's no evidence of that. And so J.D. Unwin writes this book mm-hmm. in 1934, so 92 years ago. It's called Sex and Culture. It's a study. It's not very fun reading. It's very dense. And he gives you his research methods, his conclusions. And he looks at 86 civilizations over a 5,000 year period of time. And he asks the question, what causes civilizations to rise and thrive? And what causes civilizations to decline and fall and be replaced? And he says that there is not one exception to this rule, that civilizations that paired prenuptial chastity with absolute monogamy created the strongest civilizations in history and lasted the longest. These civilizations, he says, Ali, gave us the best art, food, architecture, standing armies,
families, chastity, and monogamy. The cultures who featured chastity and monogamy were the greatest civilizations in history. Keep going.
Art, just go down the line, okay? Then in the inverse, he said there's not an exception to the inverse rule that societies that adopted, and watch this, codified total sexual freedom collapsed within 90 to 100 years and were freaking replaced by another civilization that still possessed what he called that great social energy. And you're like, wait, hold on a second. 86 civilizations over 5,000 years, and there's not an exception to that rule? Wait, so if you flout Genesis 1-3 and you try to flip God off, and you say, no, we're gonna literally defy how you define the gender binary, correct expression of sexuality, procreation, and sanctity of life, that God punishes nations? Interesting. It reminds me of this line from George Mason, Ali. He's the father of the Bill of Rights. And he said, as nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, so they must be in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. It's like, oh, right. God's not judging nations on the day of judgment. He's judging individuals. So he punishes nations now when they defy the invisible rules written into the fabric of the universe. So the key point from JDM.
Let's watch all of this. This is unbelievable. Meaning what? We have no moral foundation in America. None, except who are you to judge? We have that one. If it feels good, do it. We have that one. And the only way our society is going to survive is if we come back to those foundational principles that what? Honor the marriage, the union of a man and a woman, man and a woman only. Come back to those biblical bases. If we don't come back to those, we are seeing the judgment of God fall upon us. And how many of you have ever said to one of your children, you keep that up, and I'm telling you, you're going to get it. It's you keep doing that. And God's saying to us, you guys keep doing this. You keep doing it. And at what point? Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. At what point does the church come out of hiding and say, no more? No more. Like I said, if I ever start a church, if you're pro-choice, you are not welcome in my church. That's the way it ought to be in America. Let's flush out those phony Christians. Let's flush them out. Let's flush out those fleshly, carnal Christians. Let's flush them out. Let's get them the hell out. Oh, you're pro-choice? You're pro-homo? Get out of here! That's what I say. But see, no. We make it all about people coming to Jesus, getting Jesus in their heart. When he raises a righteous standard, and it's like a dad looking down on and saying, dude, I can't even watch what you guys are doing. Will you stop it? I raised you better than that, boy. What are you doing? That's what Almighty God's doing to us. And then he says, okay, hey, go ahead. You want to do it? Go ahead. Kill them babies. Go ahead, dude. What's your economy collapse, huh? Oh, yeah. Why? Oh, because you reap what you sow. Reap what you sow. It's profound, really. You watch that video. It's profound. The sexual revolution. Because a man could not control his libido. And women were no longer taught that they should control theirs as well. I'm not making excuses for the male. Male has always been the aggressor. Not so much anymore. Hey, go to those bars. Go to those bars on Friday night and see whether or not the girl's on the prowl too. Because they used to call him a slut. You're not allowed to do that anymore. Because you don't know she's a slut. Because they murder the byproduct of their sluttiness. Sin leads to sin. I could go on. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, good morning, coach and team. Hey, want to just remind everybody the power of this huddle. Please pray over it, give, and invite new people to come. Because don't ever forget, Tony Spell, he took 200 of us down there, and we were so excited to go down there and rally around one of his court cases, and we were looking around so excited to meet all these new churches from all these parishes. There'll be hundreds of them standing up for one of their own pastors.
Nope.
Besides Pastor Dale, there was nobody. I want to encourage everybody to get out and go, what would you do today? What would you do today?
What should we be doing today to help Pastor Dale? That's what we should do, right? I'm going to talk to Dale. We're going to go down there, man. We're going to go to the courts. Hey, folks. Look, are you looking at me? The courts are godless. The courts are godless. Justices are bought. You understand that? Justices are bought. Do we understand where we are? And it is the judgment of God upon us. And why? Because the whole creation is groaning, waiting for God's men to show up and do something about it. But we ain't going to do nothing about it because it's the end of days. It's the end of days.
Hey, so coach. What would, if there was a weasel guy like that, abusing day after day after day in front of the LSU football coach, do you think those police would do something?
Yeah. Folks, do you understand what Brett's saying? LSU football coach, if some guy was out in front of his house screaming and hollering, you think he'd do something about it? Oh, yeah, hell yeah, they'd do something about it. Or what if some guy's out there standing hollering out in front of the abortion clinic? Oh, they'd do something about that, right? See, look, they don't fear the Lord. We don't fear the Lord, so they don't fear the Lord. No, there's no fear of the Lord. Thanks, Brett Goodman. Mr. Numbers, come on in.
God has his hand on Tony Spell because he's the one that stood up in COVID. So
that's right.
You know, he always uses him as a point man.
Hey, Craig, we went down there and stood with him. Remember that, Craig? We went down there and stood with him. Go ahead.
Well, that started the circuit courts. You know, that was the circuit court thing. That was the Supreme Court and all that. Right. But if you read, you know, pull Jeremiah 29:15. I think it's 29:15 or 29:5. Okay. This speaks about burning your children, right? To Baal and Moloch, which is what we're doing. Okay. At the end of the day, filter it all out, shake it out. This is exactly what we're doing. And
we don't care. The church didn't care, Craig.
What the gentleman was telling you is that God will bring judgment. Okay. Well, let me tell you the story of Marilyn and Steve Deck. Chime in here later. Okay. So after Roe v. Wade got overturned, it was a state's right. So what did the states do, which Ohio did? Well, you know what Maryland did? Same thing a lot of them did. They enshrined it in our state's constitution. Mm. So Maryland's state constitution is enshrined with the right to abort your fetuses. Now, you know what God's answer to that was? Well, he decided to take this container ship called the Dolly as it was leaving the port of Baltimore and knock down the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Okay. Now, where does how does Francis Scott Key fit into this whole thing? And how is that prophetic for America? Well, every time that you go to your, you know, football stadium or baseball stadium, you say, oh, say, can you see? Guess where that was at? Hmm. That's called Fort McHenry, Baltimore. And Francis Scott Key was isolated because he got thrown off a British ship right where the Francis Scott Key Bridge was. So what God has said is he's done with it. He's done with it in Maryland. He's done with it in America. And we have had time to repent. Now, guess what? You better put your seatbelt on because the judgment's all going to start. And July 4th is a turning point. I'm telling you in a prophetic way, hold the tape, mark me by my words. The benchmark, you've had games over your season. Like you had a great season up to a certain point and then things just kind of went crazy.
Yeah.
This is a benchmark. July 4th is a benchmark for this nation and God is going to unleash his wrath.
Craig, would you agree with me? Would most of you out there agree with me? That for the most part, the church is, excuse me, Christians are pro-life with exceptions. They're not really pro-life. They're not real. They would scream and holler, excuse me, about some guy walking down the street, getting his head blown off by somebody or a car wreck, some drunk driver coming over and killing somebody. Oh, how horrible that is. But a woman going in and killing a baby. Our consciences have been seared. They tell us it's not a person. A woman has a right to choose. Can I tell you something? The church agrees with it. For the most part, the church agrees with it. Pastors must agree with it. They don't speak out against it. People come to church. They don't hear the pastor talking about abortion or homosex. They want to hear something that makes them feel good. Oh, give me something that uplifts me, Pastor. No. This is a status report. Every time you come in here, it's a status report on what the devil's doing. And here's our play against what the devil's doing. Folks, that is non-existent in church. James Thomas, come on in.
Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Yep.
The other day I was watching that movie, Jesus Revolution, about Lonnie Bridgeby and...
Yeah,
I mean, you know, me and you grew up in the same era, brother. There was so much. I was caught up into it, the spiritual warfare in the 70s.
Unleashed by Roe versus Wade, though. That's the point Seth Gruber's making. Released by Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you had the freak sect, and then all of a sudden Jesus decides, well, if I don't show up. This end is going to come quickly. They would have ushered in freaking, I think we would have been done in 1980. Yeah. God not showed up and did what he did at that time. As far as on the life stuff, I believe most, I'm a part of the Pennsylvania pro-life, and I think they're just businesses. I don't think they want it to end. They see the money that comes in from this. I don't see them desiring it to be coming to an end. And as far as in regards to where we are as a church, it sounds like we've.
Okay. So James, I'm going to connect something here. Okay, folks, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm running out of time. I don't mean to step on you. I do mean to step on you. Bear with me a second. Lorraine, bear with me a second. Cause I want to show you this. Christopher sent this to me. Huh? Here is, look, folks, I don't want to get into the end times debate. Okay. I don't want to get into it. That's not what this is about, but I'm going to tell you something. The truth of the matter is if there's a snowstorm or a rainstorm and I'm watching the radar, back when I was a kid, there wasn't such things as weather radar, but now you can go on your phone and you can pull up weather radar. You guys know that, right? You pull your radar. And what does it show you? Well, it shows you where the storm is and when it's going to end. So, oh, it's going to snow for, we're going to get about 4 inches, honey. We're going to get 4 inches and it's going to snow to about noon. And I know, right? I know. Well, we have a cultural radar. But the problem is, in the cultural radar, we're looking at the snowstorm. We say, oh, good. It's going to rain so much that it'll be the end of the world. Are you with me? Oh, I hope it keeps snowing. If it keeps snowing, Jesus will have to come and get us out of here. Well, now, I pray he does. But to live your life, watch an evil flourish, thinking that is God's plan, is almost sick. It's almost sick. What did I want to show you? What did I want to show you? No, that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Oh, I was going to go there. Oh, yeah. The eschatology song. I don't know who wrote this and put it at 1.5 speed. I don't care if you get mad. Christopher sent it to me, and I thought it was worth sharing. Go ahead.
Everybody's got a curse. Everybody's got a Bible verse. Everybody's sure about how it's gonna work. Come on in. Won't you join our church? Jesus loves you, but first, are you pre or post? When's your 1,000 years? Are you past or pro? Now listen here. We got wars and rumors and fear. Same headline, just a different year. Earthquakes, numbers, beasts, and skies. Scroll down a little, it's the end of time. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows, not the sun or the power. You swear you hear the coming day, but heaven's clock don't tick that way. Ray, 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 ray. One generation was promised they'd see it. One generation thought they'd be it. Has it already come and gone? Or maybe the king just got it wrong? Jerusalem in 70 asked for a sign, and Rome showed up right on time. Those temple stones, not one left standing. Was that a missed moment or a misunderstanding? Josephus wrote by firelight. Bodies burning, death in the night. He told of other signs way back. Another page, another stage for me. I know, for me, I know. No one knows the day or the hour. No one knows, not the angels of power. But this time's different, can't you tell? They said that too when a big bomb fell. Look at the signs, look at the map, and the TV prophets selling their wrath. But I've got scripture verses. So did others who missed the truth. Everybody's sure. Every curtain is torn. Everybody's yelling. Here comes a storm. Oh,
is it just the norm? They say it's soon, they say it's near. It's any moment now. They say it's soon, they say it's near. It's any moment now. They're so clear. But maybe soon was never a day. Maybe soon is how you wait. Maybe this generation means us today. Maybe it meant them back in the day. If the end comes, quiet or loud, find me loving, not drawing crowds. No fear to sell, no lies to defend. Just living like mercy is the end. No one knows. So here we stand, open hearts outstretched. If it's still to come and it comes tonight, let it catch us, do it right. If we're always trying to figure it out, is it because we're sure or because we doubt? If we're always waiting for the end of time, what will we miss while looking for a sign?
Wow. Who knows? Who knows? Bible says, work while the sun shines, for a day cometh when no man can work. And for those of you saying, well, coach, don't you believe in end times? I know this. I'm going to work while the sun shines, and I'll be daggone if I'm going to be sitting around watching the clock. And that's what most of Christianity is doing. How many of you out there know somebody lost? How many of you know somebody's going to kill their baby? How many know somebody that's being influenced by homosexuality and transgender? And our answer is, well, I'm looking at the weather. It's what says it's going to rain. It says it's going to rain here in the end. That's my perspective. That's my perspective. I believe in preventative measures. That's what I believe in. Yeah, that's what I believe in. I think it's a lot easier to keep a girl from getting pregnant than killing her baby afterwards. I believe in prevention. It's called a moral code. It comes from a group of people, God's people, standing up and saying, no, no, not on my watch, not with my money, no. But if you're convinced we're sitting around studying the signs, let me tell you this. Never had a good football team that were scoreboard watchers.
Boom.
See, what's a scoreboard watcher? It's a guy on the field. The game is running down, 2 minutes left, and they're just running out the clock. And modern American Christianity, come on now. They're just running out the clock. He's running. Oh, yeah, they're murdering babies. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, they're marrying gay. Yeah, yeah. They're cutting off the penis. Yeah, yeah. Boy, it must be, game must about be over. Who would want to coach a team like that? That aren't fighting till the end. Occupy till I come. Is the modern American church occupying? Oh, coach, we're not supposed to mix religion and politics here. We're just riding it out because Jesus is coming anytime, coach. I pray he does. If he comes, I'm ready. I hate to tell you this. I got a lot of people around me who aren't. They ain't ready. There's many people sitting in churches who believe the end time is at the door, and they don't share it with nobody. They believe the end time is near, and they don't even fight for Bible reading and prayer in their public schools. The end time's about here. Well, how are those kids going to learn? How are those kids from godless homes going to hear if they're not taught about the gospel in the school? Well, they told you there was a separation between the church and state, coach. You're not allowed to bring religion into, you're not allowed to bring religion into the school. Oh, yeah, you are. You're allowed to bring religion into school. You're just not allowed to bring Jesus into school. By the way, Christians, would you continue to have your taxes raised to pay for the atheism that we're teaching your children? Thank you for helping us guide them all the way to hell and picking up the tab for us. Thank you. Oh, because you know there is a separation between the church and the state. We're without excuse. We are without excuse.
Amen.
And we're going to stand up before the Lord. Every one of us is going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account for what we did in this mess that we were in. Say, well, Lord, I just prayed the game would be over. I just prayed the game. I just hunkered down and prayed the game would be over and we'd win. Well, not us, because we know you'll win. But can we be on the team? It's sickening. It's sickening. Come on, Laura Ann.
Okay, I have two points. First point, men are just as much as whores as women are.
More.
When they're not defending, men are not defending their children and just saying it's also my body, your choice to the man, because you're choosing that your child's body be murdered.
Yeah, of course. Because they didn't get married. So, they didn't get married. They didn't follow the law of God.
He just wanted it's all about lust, right? And and second of all, with Tony spelling out, I would like to pray for him, and if I could, and just real quick, this is the measure of a shepherd. A shepherd protects his flock. Shepherds don't protect their flock anymore. They let the wolves come in and eat them up alive.
Every pastor in New Orleans ought to be outside City Hall. Every pastor in New Orleans.
And most of them aren't men. They're all hirelings. So they're going to let the wolves just come in and destroy them and kill their flock, you know? And Laura, they think that's okay.
Laura, it's what the Bible says is going to happen. It's the end of days, Laura Ann.
Right. It's the end. It could be the end days today. People, just like to your point you just made. People are dying and going to hell every day. The end times is coming for them. Every single one of us has a day where we're going to meet the end times.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And people that we say that we love, because you don't show up because you'd rather show up with condemnation and judgment instead of showing up with love and truth. And the witness of the gospel is alive because of John 1:14.
Truth is love, folks. Truth is love.
Can I please pray for Pastor Spelling, please?
Yes, go.
Father God, in the beautiful, sweet, precious, victorious name of Jesus Christ, we come to you today and we bring your son, your man of God, your shepherd before your throne, Tony Spelling, right? Pastor yes. Tony Spelling, Spell. Who's protecting his flock, who's a witness around the world, because not only has it been this time, it's been other times that this man has stood up and rose and said, I am going to protect the flock at the cost of his own self. You have been with him in his tears. You are his battle buddy. You are with his wife, his best battle buddy, who knows what goes on in the middle of the night when he's waking up and demons think they can call his name. But Jesus, you call his name. You call his name. And Satan trembles because of what you call him in the throne room of heaven as you defend that man sitting with your father. And Father God, we thank you that this man is representing you, the name that is above all names, which is your name, which is Father, that Jesus said is holy. Father is holy. And this man is protecting is a good representation, what every man should do as protecting their flock and their own homes. You lay down your life for your family. So thank you for the love that's going on. And we look forward to your victory being his banner, your truth being his banner, that Satan, you are trembling. And that this court system may belong to you, but the Supreme Court is in the throne room of heaven where you were kicked out. So this is the truth will be his witness, because he is filled with the grace and the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit's going to do what he does best, bring him comfort, but show up and show off and do some protecting. And we can't wait to see what you're going to do, God, because we praise you. We know you. We thank you. And we thank you for destroying Satan, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in this man, your son, this pastor, and everyone that you have adopted. And together we are going to cause the gates of heaven to come down here on earth, and Satan is going to tremble.
The wages of sin is death. Fornication leads to abortion. Fornication leads to death. See you tomorrow.